At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Boom. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to In Liberty and Health, episode number 352. Can't believe I've been in 352 of these now. Feels like I've been doing this for forever and a half. I started almost 3 years ago to the date. I don't know when exactly, but I know my first episode was sometime in October of 2021. So doesn't feel like I've been doing it for 3 years, but I have been doing it for 3 years. So I guess I should just say right up front here, thank you guys so much for being along for this journey. I've really enjoyed it. Red Hawk jumped in the chat. Progressing nicely. Love to see it. Yeah, absolutely. And he's part of the reason why we're going to have this conversation today, actually, about why I am not an anarchist anymore. I don't want to jump into that too much right now. This will be a little bit of a more relaxed stream. Just kind of talk to you guys, the audience, and see how everybody's doing, and kind of explain my progression from anarchist to where I am now. I give it 6 more months. I think that's what a lot of people say, but I'll kind of cover why I've changed my mind over time. But hopefully everybody else is out there doing really, really well. It is definitely fall. We abruptly got right into fall as soon as I got back from vacation, which, you know, going from like 80, 90 degree Florida to coming back to like a 50 degree Pennsylvania is a little bit jarring, but I can deal with it. It's kind of nice to be able to put on a hoodie during the workday and in the morning when I go walk the dogs, which I didn't get to do this morning for reasons I'll cover in a little bit. But anyways, I think I've kept you guys long enough in the introduction of the show. One more time, hope everybody's doing well. And thank you so much for sticking with me through 3 years of In Liberty and Health. And make sure you hit the subscribe, like button, all that good stuff. And you're listening on any of the audio platforms, I'd really appreciate it if you left me a 5-star rating and help get a little bit more traffic over to the podcast so we can kind of spread the message, you know. Hoodie weather is best weather. Yeah, I'm a summer guy, but the hoodie weather, I do kind of miss it from time to time. So, and I am kind of in the mood for it. It is kind of nice to, you know, first thing in the morning, put on a hoodie and go for a walk with the dogs and some sweatpants or something like that. But anyways, make sure you hit all the links below to figure out what I got going on, everywhere you could find me, all that good stuff. acommoncrown.com, Tiger Fitness through the links below to get some supplements, get yourself all jacked and tan. Fox & Sons Coffee, use code Kyle at checkout to let Steven know that I sent you and get some wonderful coffee. I gave some to my parts manager and he really, really liked it. I gave him the Brazil stuff, which I have a whole ton of. Highly recommend you guys check that out, as well as the Den Blend Dark. That stuff is really, really good. And Deemed Fit Clothing through the link below. The code should auto populate for Sarah Matovic. To let them know that, once again, the Matovic family sent you, and that will help us out. I appreciate it. What's up, B? Good to see you. I guess without further ado, let's rock and roll. And one more time, everybody, welcome back. B, good to see you one more time. I just hung out with B last night, and I was out a little bit late last night. I was misbehaving, as I shouldn't be, but we had did some live recordings for our buddy Jazz Byers, who filled in for drums for us in a Common Crown. He also plays for a band called Homicide Black and Half Wheel. And we went over to his house where we recorded all of our, most of our songs. So we recorded Heartless, Broken Glass, Message in a Bottle, If You Want, and Cry all over at our buddy's Jazz's house last night. And we went over there Oh, no, I'm sorry. We didn't record those last night. We recorded those at his house back in like 2020, 2021. And all the singles that you've heard over the last couple of years and the ones that we've released recently were all recorded there. But obviously the coming tracks that we kind of have cooking will be likely recorded there as well. But we went there last night to do his show for Music from the 412. So make sure you go to that website. I think it's musicfromthe412.com. where he has just like a lot of Pittsburgh local bands come in and play, and then they'll just kind of talk about what's going on. He does like a little interview, and I think the interview we gave was pretty entertaining. And yeah, I thought we played really good. We were listening back to some of our live stuff, and I'm like, man, we actually kind of like, we sound like we know what we're doing here. So really stoked for that to come out. I don't know when that's going to come out. I think it's going to come out in a couple weeks or something like that. And then later on, I think he's going to do like a show where our songs we played again. So we recorded like six songs. I don't know if he'll put all six in there, but you know, we'll kind of see. So we did two newer songs and four older ones. I feel like The Fringes is probably our strongest newer song. At least that's the one we've been playing out the most, because we kind of like, well, most well established that one as a band. But I'm really pushing to get us into the studio and record that one, because I think I'm ready to go, and I think the rest of the world needs to hear it. I have so many friends now asking for a Common Crown merch, which is just awesome. So all you guys, thank you so much for your support and all that stuff. But I guess it would kind of help to move on from talking about music, which I could just sit here and talk about all day. And I guess I should also plug Tommy Salmon's podcast, Year Zero. If you go check that out from the Libertarian Institute, him and I had a conversation where we just talked largely about music. He had told me after the show, he's like, are we going to talk politics? Nah, man, we're not going to talk politics. And you know what? I'm 100% down for that. I can, you know, I'm good with anything anytime, but whenever Tommy calls me up, I know it's normally, he usually just wants to kind of shoot the shit. And I'm totally good with that, because I could talk to him for just hours and hours and hours on end. He's just the best dude ever. So why I'm not an anarchist anymore. I've been a libertarian since I could correctly politically identify myself, which if you had to give a loose definition of libertarianism, I think Dave Smith does it the best, as in private property rights and the non-aggression principle. Those two are pretty simple and I think pretty good universal rules that apply across the spectrum, you know, morally. And when it comes to politics, I think they work well as well. And then obviously, I think a lot of libertarians kind of tend to lean towards the Austrian school of economics, which these two are not the same thing. But I think all the best libertarians are into the Austrian school of economics, which isn't like actually, you know, like from Austria, but it's just like you think about Hayek, Mises, Rothbard, Peter Schiff, are all these people who kind of subscribe to Austrian economics, which seem the most intuitive to me, at least. And when you explain economics through Austrian economics, it, to me at least, it makes the most sense. So that's kind of where I've always considered myself. You can be libertarian, just stop counter signaling Trump. No, I'm not going to do that. But anyways, my brother had been a big liberal for the longest time, because I think that's just the way someone must have put that in his ear, but he always watched like a lot of Amazing Atheists and the Young Turks when we were growing up. And I had moved, he started showing me videos of all this stuff, and I just kind of rejected it outright. I wasn't too into it. And like now I can't say I've ever really watched Young Turks at a long period, or like seriously, but like occasionally I'll catch their stuff, and it's not like I'm, you know, cheering them on or anything like that. But sometimes, you know, what's his face, Cenk or Anna Kasparian have like some decent takes that I'm like, okay, yeah, that actually kind of makes sense, and you know, you got it right there. But I wouldn't ever consider them like wholeheartedly people that I believe everything they say, or like believe in their principles. Like we're vastly different on a lot of stuff. But I had always firmly rejected the leftist kind of presuppositions and a lot of the leftist default beliefs pretty early on. So I'm not sure that I necessarily believed I was a conservative or something like that initially. Yeah, Anna has supposedly left the left. Yeah, supposedly. When they say they left the left, I want to talk about this for a second, so we'll put a pin in this. But everyone who says they left the left, they never really leave the left, so to speak, right? It's just that they look at the Democratic establishment and the Democratic Party as an institution that's entirely corrupt, and that they're not about leftist principles, which they're right. That doesn't mean you left the left, though. That means that you choose to no longer be associated with the Democratic Party, right? Like, it's Tulsi Gabbard says that, Dave Rubin, all these other people say they left the left, but though they bring all the same kind of like core beliefs with them. And like the general assumption is that they now went to the right, but they never actually do. And once again, I'm not the guy who's going to sit here and claim to be the most right-wing person in the world, because I just find these circle jerks of people claiming to be right-wing, left-wing, progressive, Republican, whatever. I find these circle jerks to be so tiresome, and it's just not something that I've ever cared to participate in, because I see guys all the time, oh, this person's not right-wing. I don't care. It's the same thing like when people say, oh, he's not a libertarian. I don't care. And nobody else does either. I promise you, nobody gives a shit about people not being a real libertarian or not right-wing enough. And like, when it comes to the dissident right stuff, and maybe I could just dive into this too. I wouldn't right-wing. Yeah. Right-wing is freedom. Left-wing is control. Yeah. It's not that. I don't think you're saying that, screwed up rebellion, but I get what you're saying. And yeah, it's so fucking stupid. I don't think if you go down to the original beliefs, and I don't know who coined this, but the way that it's always been laid out to me, because it was very confusing, because you would see this from people all the time. People would say that left wing means striving for equality, or like looking at the world as equals, right? Whereas right wing would be more understanding and appreciating hierarchies, right? Where you understand that some people are innately better than others, where left wing kind of sees people as more malleable, and that they could be formed, like basically all cultures are the same, right? It's basically just the Marxist idea of everybody's equal, and it's kind of like oppressive forces. But you know, like neither of these are perfect, but you know, obviously when it comes to a more right-wing perspective, that's where I tend to lean a little bit more, because I mean, it's just the world that I grew up in. And I mean, you could see this, and this kind of goes to why I'm not an anarchist anymore. So I guess I'll start off with reason number one, and the abortion issue is something that I'm actually pretty passionate about, and it's not like my one guiding thing, and it's not a hill that I necessarily die on, right? But it is an issue that I think you can't really contend with when it comes to anarchism. In order to secure the idea of being pro-life, right, which means that you would have to forcefully stop abortions, which I do think is the right thing to do, that is going to require some form of government, some form of force. You are restricting somebody's quote-unquote freedom, as they would see it, to abort a child, which in my perspective, I do believe that is murdering a baby. That's my perspective. People can disagree, and I understand. This varies greatly, and people have a different idea of when life begins. I believe that life begins at conception, and I believe that you're responsible for the consequences of your actions. So if you are to choose to have sex with somebody, then you are choosing to accept the consequences of that decision, because there's not a single adult in the world that doesn't know that having sex can't lead to a child. You're choosing to engage in that, and therefore you're responsible for the actions that come from that. That's what a libertarian constitutionalist told me. He told me that there's never been a right-wing government in the history of the world. Would you call yourself a minarchist? Yeah, I would call myself a minarchist. Either the Constitution has enabled or allowed the current government, either way is unfit to exist. Yeah, I know what you're trying to get at. Screw up rebellion. But yeah, so I do believe that it is just to use a government to curtail people's freedoms from killing unborn babies. I don't believe you have a right to do that, because you made a decision, and that decision led to the consequence, which is a fetus. And that fetus has its own life that will grow to be a person if left to its own natural devices. Therefore, I do believe that it is just that you can use the government to forcibly stop somebody from doing that. Now, do I believe that women should be thrown in jail in this current day for having abortions? No, because, and this is very loosey-goosey, and if you start applying this to other situations, I understand that this looks bad, right? But in our current situation, we do have a population that is conditioned to believe that a baby is not a life, right? And this is because we've had years and years and years of telling women that, no, this is your body, this is your choice. And even a lot of right-wing women will even argue on this behalf that it is, you know, their body, their choice. I mean, you even see Melania Trump, and yes, screwed up rebellion. Here you go. I'm going to counter signal Trump again. Melania Trump goes on to make this huge ad about how a woman's right to choose and all this stuff. I mean, she literally sounded like a third wave fucking insane feminist in that ad. And I'm sure everybody saw it all over Twitter. And I get why people here, body, my choice, but, I get why people freaked out about it, but, yeah, I disagree with that position because once again, I do believe that that isn't your body at that point and you chose to get pregnant. So therefore, you have to deal with those consequences. So that would be one reason why I'm not an anarchist anymore. Another reason is that honestly, not all cultures are the same and not all people are the same. When you look at somewhere like, you know, it's been talked about ad nauseum, but Haiti, some African countries and a lot of countries that don't have the same amount of prosperity as other countries like European countries. You kind of have to start to ask the question, are people fully capable of accepting the responsibility that comes with pure freedom and capitalism? If you look at countries that have been destroyed and like Haiti, for example, which I know has been beaten to death, but, do I believe that if you had a whole bunch of higher IQ engineers or people, like if you took the population from, let's say, I don't know, the Netherlands, right, which has an average IQ of, I think it's like 102, and you put them all into Haiti without the Haitians, would Haiti still be what it is today? Or if it had always been that way? Honestly, no, I don't believe that. Could you have somebody with a 65 IQ run a high executive CEO kind of job with a big business and close deals and something like that? No, you really couldn't, because they're considered they're not able to do basic tasks or think in the abstract the same way that someone like me or hopefully all my audience could. And these aren't to say that these people should be like taken out back and shot or anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that these people don't have the same capability of exercising their freedom that, maybe I or some other people do. And I'm not saying I'm some gift from God or something like that, but I mean, I've done well enough for myself that, you know, I have a house, I have multiple cars, and I've managed to pay all my bills, right? I work a job that is very mentally taxing. And when I took an IQ test, it was, you know, a couple standard deviations up. Right. And once again, I'm not here to tell you guys you have to suck my dick or anything like that. That's I don't give a shit about that. But when you look at European nations that have a higher IQ versus nations that don't on average have a higher IQ or like a lower IQ, then you could see that there's clearly disparities here. So therefore, I think having a government that kind of makes sure that people are, I don't want to say like general welfare, but kind of infrastructure is taken care of. I think it's reasonable to say that we're going to impose some sort of order to make sure that your entire society doesn't crumble before you. When people start talking about a privatized society, like when it comes to private police forces, I think that's realistic, honestly. I know people might think I'm a little goofy for saying that, but no, I think you could have a situation with private police. But is it really that far different from saying...
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Saying you would just be taxed to pay for, you know, the public protection. I do think there's a stronger argument for private police in that situation, because if the privatized police aren't doing their job, then you could always pull funds from them and put those funds elsewhere. Or, in some situations, like there's a lot of towns that just have like state police, right? So they don't have like their own police township, but these people still pay they still pay taxes, but, you know, because I'm sure a lot of these small towns probably have a large degree of gun ownership, you really don't need any kind of giant police force. So in these kind of situations where you have a high trust society like that, you don't really need any kind of police force because the rules are unspoken. There is a cultural norm of trust and order. In these kind of situations, honestly, anarchy kind of works great, but that's not every single situation. And I don't think that's realistic for most situations either. And the other thought I was kind of thinking about when I was coming up here to do this show was when it comes to like settling disputes into private courts. I've heard people talk about this, and maybe I could be convinced otherwise, but I've, when you kind of get down to like, oh, you're going to settle this in a private court. Okay, well then who's the authority? What if I don't want to submit to your private court? Do you hire mercenaries to go take this person in? Once again, I'm sure there's answers to these questions, but in my mind, establishing the smallest government possible is probably the best idea. Let me catch up with some of these comments. Jesus is a monarchist. You know, I've heard people talk about monarchy, but I'm just not that well educated on it, to be completely honest with you. Anarchy is no guarantee that some people won't kill, injure, kidnap, defraud, or steal from others. Government is a guarantee that some will. Yeah, fair enough. You're not wrong. Libertarianism requires a homogenous, high-trust society in order to be workable, and importing hordes of foreigners just makes it impossible because it creates conflict that makes big government necessary. Yes, and you know what, to that point right there, Duke, this is another reason why I'm not a libertarian. Not an anarchist anymore, I apologize, is that, you could have private borders, yes, but where does that stop? Where does that start? This is all very ambiguous and up in the air, and in my mind, just not realistic in today's world. So when you have a government that establishes its borders, then you can make sure with force that there are not armies of foreigners coming in through the southern border, northern border, or from places you don't want. There are ways to impose societal order through that and make sure that people who don't share your values or aren't capable of sharing your values come into your small town or into your country. When you look at what an open border does, then once again, people who have low IQ and who just aren't capable of doing the things that, you know, we all do, you can't have the same society. You can't have the same trust. You can't have the same order in that society when you have a lot of people who aren't capable of doing these things. Let me run an ad real quick and we'll continue on here in a minute. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox & Sons Coffee. As you can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep right here. As you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox & Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Steven had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Steven does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com. All right, get the hell out of there. I agree that libertarianism does require, I don't even know if necessarily it has to be homogenous, because you could have, I mean, there's Asians that have a higher IQ. I know some people may have a bone to pick with when you talk about Jewish or Ashkenazi Jews with higher IQs. I don't know. Homogeneity is kind of a thing, though, because I do think people innately do like people who look like them, talk like them, and who they feel most similar to. I don't have like an aversion to people who don't look like me. I know some people do, and like, I'm not the biggest, I don't reflexively freak out when people are racist or something like that. I just kind of look at that as like, that's kind of like crappy behavior, but am I going to spurg out on Twitter and, you know, tell everybody that they have to condemn them as a bigot? No, I just, okay, well, maybe I don't need to associate with you or talk to you if you hate Polish people or, you know, blacks or something like that. I make jokes about race all the time. So it just is, it is what it is. But, yeah, homogeneity is such an interesting thing. And I'm kind of glad you brought that up too, Duke, because your comment there, I think, really brings a lot of kind of what I've been thinking about lately into focus. And if I could live in a mostly white society that looks like me, I'd be okay with that. But I mean, if there were blacks and Asians and people who shared the same values as me and enjoyed the same music as me and, you know, generally were around the same intelligence capability, then yeah, I'd be good with that. Yeah. And that is true. Skin color is the smallest difference between the races. There are plenty of other things. And I know I probably have some leftist listeners that are losing their mind when I say this, but like, this isn't to say that like we're necessarily better or worse. Like there are, when it comes to blacks that come from Africa, they do have certain genetics for like the way that their, you know, physiques may be built. And sometimes that kind of shit's envious. I mean, they do have better genetics for stuff like sports and bodybuilding, whereas like, you know, some of the Scandinavian whites are a lot taller. So that kind of gives them capabilities to do different kinds of sports. I don't have a problem with being friends with people of other races, but I don't consider it immoral to live around people. Yeah. And I completely agree with that. I know some, like I said, I know some people will lose their ever loving fucking minds about, my dogs are killing each other down there. Sorry. yeah, I know some people like lose their mind about that kind of stuff, but no, I mean, like you said, I don't have a problem with people of other races, but I don't consider it immoral to say like, I would prefer to live around people who look like me, talk like me and are mostly, you know, resemble me. I mean, I want my kids to look like me. I am a bigot in the sense that I wanted my wife to be a white woman with blue eyes and dirty blonde hair. Cause that's what she is. That's why I find the most attractive. And, you know, I there's like almost a stigma around saying what you're attracted to, which is really, really, really strange because like, I don't find black women attractive. And when I've said that before, people are like, what? Or, you know, when I say I don't like single moms, people have like an immediate fucking visceral reaction to that. And what the hell did somebody call me the one time I said this? I can't remember, but it's not even like high standards or being picky. It's just like, no, that's not what I want. So why would I settle for that? And I think this is kind of the same deal with like when it comes to people of other races. Like, I don't mind being around people of other races at all. I mean, I had a few black people at my wedding. I mean, one of my groomsmen was black. And I mean, him and I are best friends. We've been friends for fucking decades now at this point. Yeah, I would never fucking, you know, hate somebody just because of their race. I hate people if they're bad people, but I mean, we got to be honest that if you had a whole bunch of, you know, there's low IQ whites too. I mean, I wouldn't want to live around welfare queens who are white, but I mean, the fact is that when it comes to other races, there are, you know, Latinas, Mexicans, blacks who typically do end up on welfare more. Yeah. Freedom of association is one of our most fundamental freedoms. And that is very, very important. And this kind of goes to the whole civil rights thing where civil rights was basically forced integration and was a violation of freedom of association because people had to be associated with other people without their consent and it was against their choice. I mean, like, I'm perfectly fine if a whole group of blacks said, fuck all the, you know, fuck whitey. We're going to make a town of just blacks. Go ahead, fill your boots, man, rock and roll. And, you know, I hope it's prosperous for you. I have no problem with stuff like that. And I have no problem if white people want to do the same thing too. And people would freak out because, you know, people say, oh, well, you have a problem with Israel. Well, yeah, I have a problem with Israel because the way they went about their land, the way they treat a captive people is a problem. But, you know, if there's a whole community of Jews and they had decided to buy a bunch of property and say, hey, we're just going to live here as a Jewish community. Okay, cool. Do what you're going to do. But when you want other people to start paying for that or other people to, you know, you forcibly have to associate with other people, then that's a problem. And this kind of goes back to the whole open borders thing, is that basically what's happening now is that people are forcibly being placed into towns all over America that the taxpayers basically did not vote for this. And I heard Pete talking about this, and Pete's going to be on in a couple weeks. I'm really looking forward to it because Pete's just the most awesome dude ever. If you guys didn't get a chance, go over, check out my other show, Five Till Midnight. Pete was on last week. We had Jose Nino on this week, but obviously check out that show too. But the one with Pete was really, really great. And they are giving these, you know, a lot of these immigrants, you know, driver's license, temporary licenses, and then they're giving them money to stay in houses. They're paying their bills, and then NGOs are paying for them to get back and forth to work. So, I mean, this is like a money-making scheme for a bunch of NGOs. These people are being forcibly put into towns of people who, you know, how could you vote for that? These people never voted for that. Who, you know, where was the consent of the governed, right? I mean, we don't even think about that anymore because that's fucking way out the window. But you're being forcibly put upon. You have these people who come into your town and then they don't share their values. They don't understand the cultural norms. Even if you put a whole bunch of high IQ whites into the middle of Mexico, it'd be chaotic as well because these people don't understand the culture. They don't understand the people. There's a whole lot there that's just not familiar to them. So I think it's better that you have a government that tells them, no, you're not going to do this, than a government that says, we're going to not do this. And one thing I wanted to talk about too, and this kind of gets off the topic a little bit, but I just kind of wanted to cover it today. I have said ad nauseum, and I don't know how many more times I could say that I prefer Trump to Kamala Harris. The main reason why I won't vote for Trump is because after his first term, we kind of saw what he is and how he'll roll over every single time it comes to actually do something for the American people. 2020 was probably the biggest example of this, and I don't know how people can forgive that. How you can award Dr. Fauci and act like you didn't, or how you could insist that Julian Assange was guilty and use the CIA to potentially assassinate him, or use the CIA to start a propaganda war against China. I mean, all this stuff is verified and has been done. And like I said, this is way off topic, but I did kind of want to talk about this a little bit. The CIA, the way I'm looking at this election right now is basically like the CIA, big tech, and some Israeli or like pro-Israel think tanks, and like the pro-Israel networks, the Daily Wire, the Blaze, and stuff like that, versus like the Department of Justice, the FBI, and a bunch of corporations. That's kind of the way this election's playing out, right? Because everybody in Trump's corner is big tech. A lot of these guys are linked to the CIA, either that or they get all their talking points from the Epoch Times, which is, you know, basically a cutout of the CIA through the National Endowment for Democracy, through the Falun Gong. And they're all backing Trump, which I actually kind of like some of these people. And I think that it's better that they're in his corner than other people, because as we've seen, Trump has a lot of subversive elements and is very easy to be subverted. And this is another reason why I won't vote for Trump, because he's basically running on make Israel great again. And he said that before, and I'm sure it was just kind of, you know, Trump being Trump, but he seems much more concerned with that little country over the Middle East than he is with here. And I can't get on board with that. And I actually agree with some of his positions. I did a whole show on it. I covered his, what is it? Agenda 45 or 47 or whatever the hell it was. And there's some things that I agree with, but there's also some stuff that's just like absolutely fucking retarded. But, you know, in his first term, he proved just completely unreliable. So his campaign sounds good, but lest we not forget that a campaigning politician will say just about anything to get your vote. Maybe next election cycle I'll vote for somebody. Maybe I'll go and just write Thomas Massie. That's what everyone's saying to do, but I'm staying home for this election. I consider myself a libertarian since I could politically identify, but you know, I consider myself an anarchist probably just as long as that. And my brother had a lot of good arguments for it, and so did a lot of the people who I listened to about anarcho-capitalism. But like in today's world, especially after 2020, it's hard to argue that anarchism would work in the respect that we would like to think it would, or that we would like to think it would, because the way that people operate in 2020 showed that they just aren't interested in the maximum amount of freedom. People were okay with having their freedoms restricted. So if you had a closer, tight-knit community with your guys in charge, then I don't see how that would be any worse than a, you know, large, or how that would be any better or worse than no government at all, because I don't think we're going to get to a point of anarchy unless you live in like a small town somewhere or something like that. I just don't see it possible. But yeah, I don't know if I really got that much more to say on this. I just wanted to hop on and kind of talk about this. I didn't have too many ideas going on in the back of my mind for a show tonight, but I just want to make sure that I got some content out for you guys. Next couple weeks are going to be pretty cool. I got Will Porter coming on next week from the Libertarian Institute. I never had him on, and we've been friends for quite a while and just kind of never made it happen. So I'm glad that we're finally going to do it. The week after that, I have Pete Quinones coming back on. So really look forward to that. I think that's going to be a really fun conversation. What else did I want to say? A Common Crown's doing really, really well. Our next show is with Tommy Vexed on November 13th, less than a month away. Jeez. I'll be 30 in less than a month as well. I know I'm getting old. But yeah, I think that's it. So if you guys don't got anything else, no super chats or anything like that, I want to thank everybody for coming in, watching, hanging out for a little bit as I just kind of ramble through here and get my thoughts on why I'm not an anarchist anymore. Make sure you go over to the YouTube channel and become a member if you would so desire. It's only $2.99 a month, so I would greatly appreciate it. You get access to a whole bunch of footage from A Common Crown shows, and I still have some of the podcasts up without any ads in them. Which, you know, the ads are relatively small. It only adds like 2 or 3 minutes tops to the whole show. But yeah, you can access those. I've thought about putting up more content for just members, but I kind of like leaving it at I have all this stuff out there for free, and I want to have memberships there for people who just feel like if they get value of what I do out of what I do, then they can just donate in a very, very small way that's affordable to them, and it's no big deal. So I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hit all links below for everything I got going on, Tiger Fitness, Fox Sun's Coffee, Deemed Fit, all that stuff. And I think I'll wrap her up there. So thanks guys so much. And until next time, take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.